Well, you might have thought, okay, we've taken a break from Revelation and all of the things to do with that, things to do with numbers and Antichrist and all this sort of thing. And then now all of a sudden, we're reading 1 John and we're talking about the last hour. And there's the Antichrist and all sorts of things like this. You might have wondered, well, what's going on? Then again, maybe perhaps you are among those who are waiting for the right signs to appear, for the last hour to begin. I mean, think about all that we've experienced recently. Wars, earthquakes, disease, global pandemic followed hot on the heels by earthquake in a strange place where there ought not to be earthquakes. And now could we be on the brink of a world war? Could the last hour be upon us? What do you think? Well, we have to ask ourselves, what was it that John the Apostle taught? Here's what he says. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. Well, hang on a minute. Hang on. This is the last hour. 2,000 years ago, when John is writing this letter, perhaps you find it odd that John wasn't so much waiting for the Antichrist to come, as much as he saw many Antichrists already in the world. It might seem strange that he wasn't waiting for the last hour to arrive, but he taught that at the time of his writing, the last hour had already come. Maybe this disappoints you because maybe you thought that the Antichrist might be the Pope of the Catholic Church. I don't know. Some people have put forward this as an idea. But other people have put forward that perhaps it's not the Pope of the Catholic Church at all, but it could be Barack Obama. Perhaps you've never thought these sorts of things, but you've thought maybe that there's perhaps someone lurking in the shadows, behind it all, behind the scenes. Perhaps this is Antichrist. Or perhaps you know that it's neither of these people, but of course it is someone else. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't do that. Let's get rid of that. Topically, perhaps it is this fellow here. Who is the Antichrist? Who is the person who seems to set himself against God's people, God's church? Well, John seems to think that the Antichrist, and actually many Antichrists, were already in the world when he wrote. Let's look again. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. So maybe we're asking the wrong question. Maybe instead of asking who is the Antichrist, maybe we need to be asking what kind of person is Antichrist? Well, John actually gives a pretty straightforward definition in verse 22. He says this: who is the liar? It's whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. It seems fairly straightforward, isn't it? If you are anti-Christ, you're Antichrist, right? You're Antichrist. So what do the words even mean? Well, anti, you know, against, but it can also mean in place of, right? Okay, so if I was saying, I am the Christ, okay, that would make me a kind of Antichrist, wouldn't it? I'm not the Christ, by the way. I'm a very naughty boy. No, if you've seen The Life of Brian, it's a good one. Now, it's important to note this. Don't believe that John is saying that every person throughout all of history who has failed to come to faith in Jesus is Antichrist or is the Antichrist. I think actually John here is referring to those who make a considered attempt to deny that Jesus is the Christ and to take others with them, right? This is someone who's trying to bring people with them. This seems to be what happened in the case of the people that John is writing to. He says, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And he says this, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. So it seems that there was a group of people in this church that he's writing to who not only left denying some key things about Jesus and about the gospel, and then they tried to bring people with them to lead them astray. They're in active denial of Jesus as the Christ, but seeking to bring other people with them. Such a person, he says, is the Antichrist. And it's not just that they deny Jesus in some way, but actually that if they deny the Son, they are also denying the Father. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying Father and Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also, says John. Now, why would a denial that Jesus is the Christ be a denial of the Father as well as the Son? I wonder if you have any ideas. Well, John doesn't give us any explicit reason right here, but a little bit later he says something interesting. He says, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you remember that story that Jesus told, and we heard it read to us just earlier about the vineyard? And the owner of the vineyard, he sends a bunch of servants to the vineyard to go and speak to the tenants. And each one, they do away with the tenant, the servant, don't they? In the end, the owner of the vineyard, he says, well, I tell you what, if I send my Son, then they will listen. And what do? They get rid of the Son as well. The question is, who are they rejecting? Whom are they rejecting? Are they rejecting just the Son? Well, actually, no, they are rejecting the one who sent the Son as well. Actually, later in chapter 5, John will also go on to say that rejecting the Son makes God out to be a liar, because you reject the testimony that God has given about his Son. One who denies the Son denies the Father as well. Well, what are we meant to do with all of this? Well, I think there are three things that we can say about the Antichrist, or those that are Antichrist. Number one, I'm sorry that it's a bit hard to read that up on the screen, so I'll read them out for you. The first one is that the Antichrist, or denies Jesus is the Christ, or puts themselves in his place. Number two, they actively try to take others with them. And number three, we can see that those who do pursue this kind of behavior are spiritually bankrupt, and they bankrupt anybody who does come along with them. They reject God the Father along with the Son. So this isn't just a difference of opinion or a difference of style or a difference of, you know, just belief. You do it your way, you do it mine. Actually, John is telling us that it is spiritually bankrupt. It's important stuff. What do we do with it all? Well, the interesting thing is though he said that there were antichrists in the world back then 2,000 years ago, and even though we have this sense that there's going to be this big capital A antichrist at the end of all time, the great thing for you and I is that no matter what, our job stays the same. We don't necessarily have to worry about a whole range of things, reading the newspapers carefully, checking the news, checking whether this person or that person is or isn't the Antichrist. Now, all we need to do is very simple. Remain in the truth. Simply remain in the truth. That's his priority. In fact, in verse 24, John says this. He says, as for you, see what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. See what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, says John. His top priority for you and me isn't that we would be able to identify with pinpoint accuracy the big capital A end of time Antichrist, but that we would know what kind of person is Antichrist and in response remain in the truth. Be sure of what we heard in the beginning. So that if someone comes along and says, oh, you know, I've got a better way. Did you know Jesus really wasn't the Christ? Or they say, did you know that Jesus didn't really die on the cross, like you've heard? Or Jesus wasn't really God the Son? Or Jesus was just a good teacher, but not anything else? Or Jesus didn't exist? Or Jesus doesn't exist? Or you are the Christ, or I'm the Christ. I could go on. You know, all of those things that I've just mentioned are things that people have come along and said about Jesus. What do we have to do? See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. But sometimes what someone says about Jesus can be very persuasive, can't it? You know, maybe depending on the time and circumstance, if we're lonely and they come with a whole group of people who welcome us in, or if you're looking for hope and community and you find it in what people are saying, or perhaps when it's hard to actually say the hard things about who Jesus is and the rest of society is saying something different, it's easy to go with the flow. Or if you and I get deeper and deeper and deeper down maybe a YouTube hole on a particular topic, we can be brought away from the teaching from the Bible. I mean, look at this guy. Who would follow this guy? Would you follow him? Doesn't it just scream scam to you what this guy is putting out there? Could you imagine that anyone would want to follow him? But this is José Luis de Jesus, okay? And you can see down the bottom, he calls himself the Jesu Cristo Hombre, or the Jesus Christ Man. 300 churches around the world, over 100,000 members. Yes, over 100,000 members who believe that they ought to have the numbers 666 tattooed on themselves and follow actively the Antichrist, which is who this guy said that he was, the Antichrist. And he said, that's not a bad thing. You've heard it's a bad thing, but it's not. It's really good, and you should follow me. And over 100,000 people thought, yeah, there's something good in this. He said that he was the Christ come back, right? The Spirit of Christ dwelling in him. And lots of people followed him. Anyway, he died in 2013. His family buried him, and yet still people continue to follow him, saying he's still alive somewhere, somehow, some way. What do you and I do in response to this? What's our job? See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. Now, I've just given you an extreme example where I feel like most of us in the room, we can see something like that and go, no, that's not right. That's not right. But here's the thing. Often what comes to us seems really true, seems really right. Perhaps someone is speaking the same language as us, talking about the Bible, and it seems right. You get a little bit further down the way and you think, oh, something's not right. You know, just the other day I met with some people online who I got in contact with through an app. I was trying to find some language exchange partners, and they discovered I was a Christian, and they said, this is great, let's meet and read the Bible. And I met with them, and I read the Bible. And then as they're going, they said, let's read Revelation. I said, great, our church is going through Revelation. And then they started talking, and eventually I realized, hang on a minute, this doesn't sound right at all. And they began to tell me that actually what I needed to do was be connected with their church, which is headquartered in Korea, the head of which calls himself New John, and unless I connect myself to them, I'm now not saved, because only 144,000 people who are connected with this church will be saved. So, well, how many members are there in the church? 200,000. Well, that's a worry. What am I to do? What was I to do? See that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. All right. That was a test. All right, we're listening. See that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. I was able to say, well, what did we hear in the beginning? Is there anything in the scriptures that leads me to believe that I need to be connected with this fellow in Korea? No. No, nothing at all. And you know what? This is important. This is important because what is on offer here and what's at stake is eternal life. And that promise of eternal life didn't come a few years ago. It came 2,000 years ago in Christ who died and rose again. Think about this for a moment. Jesus said, what did he say to the thief beside him? He said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. So it seems like everything the thief needed to know on the cross who was crucified next to Christ, everything he needed to know was there with him on that day. Trust in Christ, his death in place for sinners. It matters what we do with what we've heard from the beginning because the promise of eternal life came in the beginning. What makes us think that the information Jesus taught and the apostles shared concerning Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, was for that time and not for this time? Or that somehow it can be improved as though there was something that they didn't know or needed to know? What John wants to say is that what you need to know is found at the source. You know, kind of like a fountain or, you know, a spring of water. Where is the best water? It's at the source. And when you're downstream and where all the water kind of collects in a big puddle, that's where you don't want to be drinking the water there. You want to get to the source. And the same way is true about the scriptures. What we have is the source. Another way to put this is what John says, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Okay, there's some confusing things in there. Here's what's clear. What John wants you and I to do is to remain in him, and that him is Jesus. That's the clearest bit. Remain in him. Remain in Christ. So you don't need anybody else. We'll remain in Christ. What's unclear? Well, maybe the stuff about, you know, the anointing. What is the anointing that you received? What's he talking about? Well, the clearest way I think that I can put this is when you heard the gospel, which you heard from the beginning, it was confirmed in you. You believed the truth about Jesus rather than a lie. John calls this the anointing, and it teaches in as much as it confirms the truth in you. And if you're wondering, what if you're worried, wondering, do I have the anointing? How do I remain in it? Well, you do if you trust the words spoken about Jesus and the promises found in him as spoken by those closest to him, the apostles. If that's the case, you don't need anyone else to teach you anything, right? You don't need a Joseph Smith who founded Mormonism to teach you that you can actually become a god and have your own planet, okay? You don't need to hear from the prophet Muhammad who said that Jesus didn't really die on the cross for your sins. You don't need Jose Luis to tell you to get a 666 tattoo. You have a teacher who confirms in you the words of the apostles as they reliably pass on the teaching of Jesus and the eternal significance of his death and resurrection. This is the reason why our number one prop behind me, as you see, is an open Bible. This is why at every time we meet, we open the Bible, we talk about it. And the reason is we are trying to get close to the source. The apostles who lived with Jesus, heard his teaching, and passed it on through the letters that they wrote to various churches who wrote about Jesus' life in the Gospels. We want to get to the source so that we can get to where the promise is given, eternal life. And so right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that God is going to help us to remain in him, that we might remain true to the promise that's been given to us in Jesus' name and found in the scriptures. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would help all of us as we come across various people who will teach us or try to teach us different things about Jesus, who he is, that we would listen with ears open to your word, maybe with the Bible open, that we'd be sure of what we've heard from the beginning and not stray from it, and that we would regularly be testing the things that we hear against what we read in the Bible, that we might know with certainty that we have the eternal life found in Jesus and him alone. In whose name we pray. Amen.